20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Tuesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. You are wonderful human beings for being here. I always appreciate it. Monday was the first padded practice of training camp. And let me just say, number one, it was awesome. Number two is you really do forget just the incredible difference between OTAs, mini camps, and the opening of training camp to padded practices and actual real football again. And I say that real football, like I know we're still not doing full tackling and things like that, but oh my goodness, like we all understand that there's a difference, right? That OTAs, mini camps, and some of these are just like, I don't know, a shell of what football actually is. But man, do you need like that moment to be there live to hear the crack of the pads again, to really sort of get back and recalibrate into what this brand of football actually looks like. It was exciting. It was intense. There was some good. There was some bad. We're going to jump into all of it today. And of course, have you covered for everything that you need to know from Monday's practice. And we'll get you set for Tuesday as we get ready for training camp the rest of this week. And then of course, family night on Saturday. Before we get started, a couple things. First out, thank you to brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member Ethan Cacique. I appreciate you signing up. Also, just two calls to action today, if you'd be ever so kind. Number one, if you're on the audio podcast, especially if you're over on Apple Podcasts, five-star review would be amazing. We're getting ever so close to a 4.5 rating. That would be incredible. So if you're on Apple, make sure to give those five-star reviews. And Spotify, we would say certainly take that as well, or anywhere else you're getting your favorite pods. And also, go to TikTok, Pack-A-Day Podcast, sign up right now. That would be incredible as well. We're trying to get that brand built up over there as well, trying to get it up over 1,000 people that are subscribed to Pack-A-Day. So if you're not following on TikTok yet, make sure to do so. Two simple ones today. That'd be amazing. All right. Before we get into the actual practice part itself, the biggest story, the biggest takeaway happened right away at the press conferences. And we learned pretty early that Elgton Jenkins was back. He was going to return to practice. He did return to practice, did some individual drills, did some walkthrough with the team, not actual team drills themselves. But there is no holding. There is no further contract negotiations or talk. Elgton has decided that he is going to practice, that he wants this saga or whatever you want to call it to be kind of put behind him. He's no longer focused on the contract, and he's just focused on being a member of the Green Bay Packers. As I talked about on the live show after, anytime we get to these contract negotiations, I understand both sides. I understand that the Packers want to have it the most advantageous as possible for them. And I understand that Elgton wants it the most advantageous as possible for him. That's just business. That's just good common sense from both sides. That's just how you have to go about it. So I don't begrudge the Packers for not budging on this. I don't begrudge Elgton Jenkins if he had thoughts of like, hey, is there any way that we could get something done here? No concerns with either side whatsoever. But as a fan, man, do I love that Elgton Jenkins is reporting. Man, do I love, or I guess not reporting, but practicing and putting this behind him. Man, do I love that it sounds like Elton's going to be, you know, ready to go sooner rather than later and is going to certainly be that starting center for week one. That's huge. That's massive. And I talked about the other week, hey, if this could get to like mid-August, if by mid-August, you know, this is all resolved, I would feel pretty comfortable. The fact that we didn't even get to end of July, I feel phenomenal. You know, he misses less than a week of practices. And by the way, it sounds like this was all legitimate, that there was no actual contract. There was contract thoughts from Elgton. He did confirm that. But this hold in, so to speak, was actually that he was on the non-football injury list, had a back injury from working out, and that it wasn't actually contract related as to why he wasn't practicing. So, you know, it's great to have Elgton back out there. This, again, is the major takeaway. This was the story that has really dominated everything from a Packers conversation piece since Jaire Alexander has been released. Jaire Alexander took up most of the oxygen throughout the course of the offseason, but the Elgton Jenkins question was the next one. And there were people who thought he was going to get traded or released, or that maybe they were going to renegotiate the contract. Justice and I talked about, like, hey, maybe just move up that bonus date in 2026 to make that decision come a little bit sooner. That throws Elton a little bit of a bone, maybe a couple contract incentives here or there. I thought those could have been potential compromises. I think Green Bay was ultimately right with 2 years left on the deal to say, hey, we want you to play through this. There's 2 years left. You have no, you know, sort of basis to stand on at this point. Again, I understand why Elton was maybe looking for that with the change in position and whatnot. Either way, unbelievable to have Elton back. It was great seeing him snap the ball to Jordan Love. Those two can now get on the same page. There's been some errant snaps at practice lately. Trey Hill, the main culprit there, although Sean Ryan's had a couple as well. So it's going to be great to get Elton back out there working with Jordan and just sort of solidify this offensive line from the center out for the rest of training camp. And again, hopefully Elton can get fully healthy and working with the team sooner rather than later. That wasn't the only good injury news on the day. Quay Walker was doing a lot more. He was doing individual drill as well as some of the team walkthroughs. He had not done that as of yet. So again, he seems to be ramping up from his injury issues as well. Aaron Banks went from doing only individual to doing a little bit of teamwork. He didn't do a ton. He did a little bit, probably would have done more had it not been for a penalty that we'll talk about. But overall, it was great to see him getting a little bit of teamwork. And then Savion Williams progressed back into team activities as well. And we'll talk a little bit of excitement about that and maybe a little bit of an upgrade for Savion Williams on the day also. So great to see those three back practicing in some capacity along with Elton. So good injury news. And in fact, there weren't many players in totality that were not in, you know, were not practicing at all. Those players that were not practicing, Christian Watson, Colin Oliver, and John Williams. That was it. Christian Watson, Colin Oliver, John Williams. Those are the three. Now, there was still no McNamee, the new international kicker. He was still not there. So technically four players not practicing. But overall, a very healthy injury report for Green Bay. And that did maybe take a little bit of turn throughout the course of practice, which we'll get to in just a moment. There were a couple injuries that took place during practice, and we'll get a better update for that on Tuesday as you're listening to this. But overall, going into the day, there was a lot of positive injury news. All right, your walkthrough offensive line with the return of Elton Jenkins and Aaron Banks, it should be noted, was Rashid Walker at left tackle, Aaron Banks at left guard, Elton Jenkins at center, Sean Ryan at right guard, and Zach Tom at right tackle. Jordan Morgan did get some time playing with the ones as well, certainly obviously with Banks and Jenkins not doing team activity, but that was your starting offensive line in walkthroughs at the beginning, was Walker, Banks, Jenkins, Ryan, and Tom. Of course, with the pads coming on, one of the biggest noteworthy takeaways was just the intensity of this practice. It felt different immediately. The energy was high. There was a lot of physicality, of course. Again, overall intensity, and you could feel it. It was palpable, and there was just a totally different energy to this type of practice. And unfortunately, that took an interesting turn about three plays in to team activities, because Marshawn Lloyd took a toss play to the left. Nate Hobbs was going low to the ground, stuck his arm out, hit Marshawn Lloyd across the leg, and Marshawn Lloyd goes down, gets hurt, is out of practice for the remainder of practice, and Nate Hobbs gets basically taken aside and gets, you know, put on timeout, for lack of a better term, for a couple series before he ultimately gets put back in. There's a lot to break down here, okay? The first thing that I will say is I saw this very much how Nate Hobbs would go on to describe it in the locker room. I did not see this in any way, shape, or form as malicious. I did not see it as dirty. I did not see it as anything that Nate Hobbs was even trying to do. I do not think Nate Hobbs was even trying to bring Marshawn Lloyd, so to speak, to the ground. I think this was bang, bang. I think it was a little bit happenstantial. I think it's also, you know, something that was probably looked upon even worse because he just had the play with Dontavian Wicks a couple days ago, which, by the way, that play was an over-aggressive play. It wasn't anything egregious with Wicks. Like, he came through, he knocked the ball away, maybe even would have gotten like a pass interference. I couldn't tell if he was quite early or not. I get why you don't want that play. I totally do. But that one, again, with Wicks was pretty minor, all things considered. But he did get talked to for that one, and Matt LaFleur made a point of it. So the fact that he had that one strike already, and now you're getting into like the third play of team activities, and he's already going low, bringing Marshawn Lloyd to the ground, and Marshawn Lloyd gets hurt. The entire optics of it just does not look very good for Nate Hobbs. But my opinion of this, and I know I talked to Marcus Eversole, and I talked to Aaron, I talked to multiple people, right? This did not feel malicious at all or dirty at all. It just so happened that it was a bang, bang play. He was low, went across. Can't happen. All right. Cannot happen in those situations. The rules of engagement are pretty simple. There's more nuance to it, but the way Matt LaFleur described it to us when basically he was asked about it was that he really does not want anyone brought to the ground, you know, during practices. This is not a Packers just alone idea. Like, this is pretty common throughout the NFL. You know, there will be tackling periods, by the way. Matt LaFleur has already gone on and said that, where that is something that can happen. Those usually will happen with the twos and threes at some point, not usually with your starters, but there will be some tackling periods. Then it's fine. But when you're not in tackling periods, you are not bringing players to the ground. When you go to the ground, that's where injuries can happen. That's exactly what happened here with Marshawn Lloyd. So that, like, I want to be very, very clear. This was an incredibly physical practice in a very good way. I thought this was one of the more physical practices that I could remember, and it was nothing dirty. It was nothing. So, like, I just get all the way out of here with the, oh, Matt LaFleur or this team is just soft. Nate Hobbs makes a play and he gets kicked out. No, not at all. This was a phenomenally physical practice. So many big time hits, like just pads crushing pads, players going after it in a good, again, a good hearty way that's not injuring players or bringing guys to the ground or putting them in compromising situations. The rules of engagement were followed all throughout the course of the day, and it was a very intense physical practice. Again, one of the more physical ones that I can remember being at. So no, this was not some soft practice. This is not some whatever culture that's not breeding championship football. It's just, it's the dumbest thing. It's the dumbest thing. If you were out at practice, you would have felt all of that stuff to see actually the amount of physicality that was going in and the effort and energy that these guys were exuding on a 90 degree day with the pads coming on and the energy being excessively high in a great way. But on this one play, Nate Hobbs goes low, or was low, and again, ends up with an injury to Marshawn Lloyd, unfortunately. And I'm just going to spoil this right now. My player of the day here isn't necessarily a complete player of the day. It's a little bit of a nuanced approach here is what I'll say, but it was everyone involved in this that I thought handled this as perfectly as it could have gone, considering sort of what happened here. I love the fact that after this play happened, that Zach Tom got a little bit upset and got in Nate Hobbs' face a little bit. I love that. I love my left tackle, right tackle in this case, having my running backs back. Love it. That's what the offensive line needs to do. Their quarterback, their running back, somebody gets hurt on their offense or somebody gets, you know, taken advantage of, however you want to view it. The offensive lineman there to back it up. Love it. Love every aspect of that. But it didn't, elevate to a level of anything that would, you know, cause chaos or, you know, punches thrown or anything like that. Just getting in his face, saying it's not acceptable. And you just kind of proving a point a little bit, right? I love that from Zach Tom. I love that Matt LaFleur handled this by putting Nate Hobbs off to the side, sitting him for a few series, and then bringing him back in after that. As I mentioned on the live show, if you do not handle that, if you have rules of engagement and they're not followed, well, then you have nothing and there will be chaos. Because I can guarantee you, if all of a sudden Nate Hobbs continues to do that or like those things happen and the coach doesn't take care of it, the people who will take care of it will be the offensive linemen or the offensive players. All of a sudden you've got, you know, a toss play on the outside and, you know, Sean Ryan or someone is pulling and they see Nate Hobbs out there. Guess what? Nate Hobbs might just end up on the ground. And then these things just escalate naturally. Then the defense is upset. And these things, again, just go and continue to get to a position where you don't want it to get to. Matt didn't kick Nate Hobbs out of practice. He didn't say get the hell out or send him home for the day or anything like that. Set him down for a couple series. I love that that was the result. I think not doing anything would have been an egregious error. I think doing too much would have been overkill. Sat him for a couple series, brought him back. I love how Nate Hobbs responded Nate Hobbs through the rest of the day, he didn't shut down. He didn't, you know, just let him, you know, wallow in like, oh, woe is me. I got yelled at. I don't like this. I love that he bounced back, had an interception a few plays after he got back in the game. We'll talk about that one a little bit later. Had great coverage, had a 50-50 coverage with Matthew Golden on a ball that got thrown up from Jordan that, you know, Golden almost had to act as the defender on the play. Hobbs just basically went about his business the rest of the day and owned it in the locker room as well. Here's what Nate Hobbs said. He said, it wasn't malicious. I didn't see him until the last second. I got off a blocker. I just saw him. He got low and I got low and he hit me as I got low. I didn't get a chance to ask him about it, but I can't do that. I mean, he's still got a job to do. When he was asked about, getting put aside to practice, Hobbs said, I mean, he's still got a job to do, meaning LaFleur. He's the head coach and he's got to keep things in order, which I wholeheartedly agree with. He backed up his coach, understood the decision, didn't become some sort of, you know, locker room cancer in that situation, said he fully understood it. I think he probably thought it was a little bit more happenstantial, which I don't necessarily disagree with, but you still can't let that happen. And again, the fact that the Wicks thing happened first, he understood Matt's decision. I love how Matt handled it. I love how Nate Hobbs handled it. I love that little bit of aggressiveness from Zach Tom. I love how Jordan Love went over and talked to Nate Hobbs after the play. I love how Josh Jacobs had his arm around Marshawn Lloyd when he went over and was talking to him, and Lloyd was on the tablet that he was on watching the plays. And Jacobs, the consummate professional, I cannot tell you how much I love his leadership and what he brings to this team. He is that dude. He is absolutely that dude. He has the pulse of the team. He's the first guy there, but it's not cheap. It's not fake. It's real. It's authentic. And he's there, the first guy to put his arm around you if you need it. But he's also going to tell you honestly if something's not going the way that it needs to be going. Like, just A++ leadership from everything that I've seen from Josh Jacobs. I love how that he handled it. Like, every aspect of this, I do not feel like could have gone any better. And to me, that shows great culture within the team and great culture overall of how these players do ultimately care for each other. And I'll just end by saying this. I get that you don't want Nate Hobbs having that situation happen, right? I totally understand it. I totally wholeheartedly get it. Man, I am telling you guys, and I've said it out basically after every single practice, Nate Hobbs is that dude. He's, whether you want to say he's a dog or he's got the dog in him or whatever you want to say, he does. We talked about the relative a-hole score and everything like that. You need guys like this as part of that DNA, a part of your team building DNA. That secret ingredient, that special sauce that just makes teams tick, that makes defenses a pain in the you-know-what to play against, you have to have that ingredient. Nate Hobbs is that ingredient. He has that it factor to it. For those of you who have wanted the Mike Daniels type intensity and physicality out on the field, like, Nate Hobbs has that sort of full mentality, the PJ Tucker from the Bucks, the Mike Daniels from the Packers back in the day. He just has it. And I get that it's hard for him to turn that off. He's got to find a way in practice, no question. But I cannot stress to you enough how much that I think you're really going to enjoy watching him once he's going against Detroit, Minnesota, and Chicago. And some people say, well, we don't want our version of Kirby Joseph. I'm not saying he's dirty. I'm not saying he's this headhunter. I'm not saying he just has that it factor about him, that just the thing that gets annoying for other teams and that thing that makes your team tick and have a little bit of nasty to it. Not nasty mean, or again, not nasty, or I shouldn't say mean, but like not nasty dirty is what I should say, but just that nastiness to it, that you need it. You have to have it on defense. He has it. He brings it. I love it. And I think you're going to love it too. Just has to find a way to tone it down in practice just a little bit. But I loved the intensity of practice. We'll be right back. All right, your total starters for the day: Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft, John Fitzpatrick at tight end. That's an interesting one we'll talk about. Jaden Reed and Romeo Doubs, Rashid Walker, Jordan Morgan, Sean Ryan, Jacob Monk, and Zach Tom. Rashawn Gary and LVN at ends, Wyatt and Clark at defensive tackle, Simmons, McDuffie, and Cooper at linebacker, Nixon and Hobbs at corner, with Bullard and McKinney at safety. Bullard being an interesting one there as well. Bullard got that first rep, and then it was basically Williams the rest of the day. So I don't know if Williams was just talking to someone or they just gave Bullard a rep for reasons. I don't know. But it was basically Evan Williams at safety with the ones for as much as I saw pretty much the rest of the day. Some players did seem to get some upgrades in this practice with a little bit more of a bump into like a higher level. John Fitzpatrick, as we mentioned, got more time with the ones than I can remember seeing. Savion Williams got more time with the ones than I've seen up until this point. Nasir Stackhouse bumped from kind of the threes to the twos at defensive tackle. And Tyron Hopper got a little bit of time at linebacker with the ones as well. So a couple players look like they received a few upgrades in their or promotions in what team that they were playing with during certain different parts of practice. We talked about the players that were injured and did not practice. There were four injuries throughout the course of the day that did take place. We talked about Marshawn Lloyd. Malik Heath, we're going to talk about his incredible catch in just a moment. But on that incredible catch, he did seemingly land on the ball. He talked about it afterwards. It seemed like he got the wind knocked out of him. He's fine. He's good to go per Malik Heath in the locker room after practice. So that one should be hopefully much ado about nothing. Dontayvion Wicks did drop out of practice at some point. I don't know what the ailment or injury is. Hopefully he's back sooner rather than later, but we'll have to keep an eye on that one. There was also some talk that Brenton Cox may have gone down with an injury. I did not see that one personally. I do know that he was in on the 2-minute drills at the end, so hopefully he either returned or it could have been after that. Again, I didn't see it at all, but hopefully nothing major going on with Brenton Cox either. Those are the injuries that took place during the course of practice. All right, so we went over our player of the day, or which was a smattering of players, coach, whatever, that kind of handled that entire situation. There were two big plays on the day, though. The first was an unbelievable catch by Malik Heath in the 2-minute drill. He had a contorted body, contested catch, Bo Melton with phenomenal coverage. And I mean phenomenal coverage along the sidelines. And yet Malik Heath just out-physicaled and went up and somehow find a way to get the ball and got both feet in and got out of bounds. And it was a huge play in the 2-minute to set up the twos for, well, I don't want to spoil the rest because we'll get to that 2-minute drill later, but it was a huge play by Malik Heath in that 2-minute drill and just an unbelievable catch. And by the way, he landed on the ball, got the wind knocked out of him, still held on the way down. Matthew Golden had a very similar play. He was one-on-one with Keyshawn Nixon. Nixon had blanket coverage on the play. And I mean, I don't know what more Nixon could have done. He was even in position to knock away the ball, but Matthew Golden skies up to get it, puts his hands out to go pluck the ball, keeps it away from Nixon, then gets down or like on the way down, make sure that he gets in, you know, maintains possession on the way down. Just a unreal play for Matthew Golden. That was probably the best of the three that we're going to talk about here. Then there was another one, Sam Brown Jr. The Sam Brown Jr. one probably only went for like a handful of yards. It wasn't anything down the field, but he's along the sidelines. The ball is thrown way up in the air. I mean, Sam Brown Jr. elevated in a significant way to go get that ball. Then got kind of hit a little bit on the way down, like looked down, made sure that he tapped both feet in, and then went out of bounds as well. So like just three incredible catches on the day. One by Malik Heath, one by Sam Brown Jr., and one by Matthew Golden. All of them had good coverage. All of them had a great degree of difficulty. All of them were right along the sideline that had another degree of difficulty to get feet in and, you know, maintain possession as they went to the ground. And all three came up with it. So hopefully that is a harbinger of things to come, that this is the year that receivers, you know, could go up and get those balls and, you know, come up with really difficult catches rather than maybe dropping some easy ones. There's a variety of different players that are worth discussing here today, and then we'll get to some plays as well. Brandon McManus was unstoppable again. He is now 21 of 21, complete perfection in training camp through 5 days so far. I just right down the middle. And he had two opportunities for game-winning kicks in certain situations, crushed both of them. He has been everything as advertised and then some. And that contract that they gave him is looking really, really impressive so far. I mean, if you were to have to give out an MVP of camp through 5 days, nobody else is perfect. All right. Nobody else is perfect. Brandon McManus is perfect. So I think I probably am just going with Brandon McManus at this point. Matthew Golden, we talked about the big catch that he made. He had an interesting day altogether. So we had what I would say at least four passes that kind of came his way. That catch versus Nixon was the big one. He had another play that Jordan Love is going his way on an in-breaking route. It's interesting because I talked to you guys of how I don't usually watch specific players. On this play, I decided to watch Matthew Golden specifically. Matthew Golden comes up. He runs kind of a staple in route, you know, right behind, kind of wraps behind another wide receiver. I knew that with him running that route, he was probably the primary target on the play. It's a play that Green Bay likes to run a lot. And I'm watching him. I'm like, there's a good chance he gets this ball. But if Jordan's going to get it to him, he's going to have to get it to him high because there's defenders right in front. But I'm like, I think he's got a chance here. And sure enough, Jordan fires. And I wasn't even watching the quarterback again. I was just locked in on Golden. Jordan fires. The ball is high. Matthew goes up to get it. And it goes off of his fingertips. And that's where you get the Nate Hobbs interception. I saw this as one that I thought Golden could have come down with. I don't know that I want to classify it fully as a drop. It would have been a difficult catch, no question. But I think if you were to ask Golden, I think he probably would have said he had an opportunity to go up and get it and didn't quite get there. Goes off his fingertips and again, intercepted by Nate Hobbs. I saw people say that it was an overthrow by Jordan. Maybe, but he definitely needed to throw it high in order to get it there. At least that was my view of it. So I don't know. Tough to say. I have the beholder. Either way, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day if you're, you know, cheering for the Packers offense. It ends up in an interception. So it needs to be a little bit more, you know, just better and crisp from Jordan and Matthew Golden so that doesn't happen. But that was the other play. There was a play where there was a bad snap. Jordan got pressured, kind of threw one up in a 50-50 ball between Nate Hobbs and Matthew Golden. And Matthew Golden basically served as the defensive back to kind of just go and try to make a play and get any hand on it whatsoever so that there wasn't a play on the ball by Hobbs. The ball just fell pretty harmlessly and complete. And then there was a play where he was going one-on-one with Micah Robinson. Sean Clifford was the QB. I wish we could have seen the result of this, but Clifford threw it high and out of bounds, so there's no play on it. Robinson had phenomenal coverage on Golden. I still kind of think that Golden was like ready to go up and maybe make some crazy contested catch if given the opportunity, but unfortunately, he was not given that opportunity. Jaden Reed, we're going to talk about in the two-minute drill, but we finally saw signs of life from Jaden Reed. Nasir Stackhouse continues to impress. He had a couple big run stops on the interior of the defensive line. One play where he stacked things up, forced Emmanuel Wilson to go to the outside, and Isaiah Simmons cleaned up that play. Again, he got a little bit of an upgrade, getting to work with the twos a little bit more. He's been impressive so far, and you wanted to see it when the pads came on. Well, so far, good start for Nasir Stackhouse. Savion Williams, as mentioned, got that upgrade to the ones. He had a big play down the field, got acres of separation, didn't get to exactly see how that happened. But it was Malik Willis who found him, and it was probably like a 26-yard play down the field, something like that. So nice play by Savion Williams there. I thought Wes Otkovitz did a really nice job of pointing out about Bo Melton of like, yes, he's moved from wide receiver to defensive back, but he is still on all these primary special teams units, and his status as core special teamer has not changed whatsoever. Mark Johnson, and we've seen just a very small, you know, smattering of plays from Amar Johnson, but man, does he look the part? He is built and he's quick and he can get to the outside. This is just pure blind naked eye test at this point. But I'm very intrigued by Amar Johnson. I'll just put it that way. Again, very extreme small sample size, but ball in his hands. I like how he's built. I like how he runs behind his pads, and I like how he can get to the outside with speed. There's definitely feels like there's something there for Amar Johnson. Evan Williams, really nice day. One-on-one coverage with Luke Musgrave, batted the ball away, pass breakup. And then later, Tucker Kraft got a pass. I think it was just like a crossing route or maybe a bootleg. It was either a crossing route or just a little play where he blocked and then went in the flat. And then Malik Willis was able to find him in the flat, turns up field, gets good yardage out of it, but Evan Williams tracks it down, pops the ball out. Thankfully for Kraft, it goes out of bounds, unfortunately for Evan Williams. But this defense, man, they are getting picks. They are punching the ball out. Like, they're rallying to the football. If you're not keeping, you know, 100%, you know, points of contact on that ball, like, they're going to pop that thing out. My favorite part of it was that Kraft gets the ball chopped out and the ball goes out of bounds, goes right into the waiting hands of a fan that was along the sidelines. And Nixon goes and rips the ball away from the fan like he was the next guy that he needed to punch the ball out from. It wasn't aggressive by any means, but man, he ripped that ball right back. Like, he was like, hey, if that ball's out there at all, I'm ripping that ball out. If you want to know the DNA of this Packers defense right now. That's all you need to know. It's kind of said like jokingly or whatever, but the way this defense is just wired at the moment, they see ball, they want ball. And it doesn't matter if some old guy along the sidelines now has that ball. Keyshawn Nixon wants that ball, and he ripped it away and went and got it. So absolutely love that. And that's just the way that this defense is playing right now. Speaking of Luke Musgrave, I would still say very quiet from Luke Musgrave. Not much going on at the moment. It was interesting that John Fitzpatrick got some of those number two reps along with Tucker Kraft. That very first team rep was Fitzpatrick and Kraft together. Now, it could have been run play oriented, two tight end sets, run play, and Fitzpatrick's the better blocker. It's probably a lot more to do with that, but I just need to see a little bit more from Luke Musgrave, especially as a pass catcher and as a receiving threat within this offense. We just haven't seen much of that so far. We'll be right back. If you're looking at the defensive tackles, I think Colby Wooden has had a pretty strong start to OTAs, mini camps, and training camp. Nothing major today, but he's had some good plays. Carl Brooks has been insanely quiet. Brinson's been mostly quiet. And then Nasir Stackhouse, again, a couple big plays from him so far. So just an interesting dynamic that's maybe developing where Wooden and Stackhouse to me have had a better start to the offseason or just, you know, camp and mini camps, etc., than maybe Brooks and Brinson have had so far. Per Bill Huber, Jordan Love on the day was 13 of 19 with that one interception. Again, I think a little bit unlucky. I think Golden at minimum probably should not have allowed that to tip up and get to the defensive back, maybe even have a catch on the play. But again, overall, Jordan Love 13 of 19 with one interception. Some other plays that we didn't get the chance to talk about. Tucker Kraft got a nice completion on a crosser. That was the first time all camp so far, really OTAs, mini camps, or training camp, that I saw the defense confused. Looked like Isaiah Simmons was maybe lined up in the wrong spot. There were multiple players trying to get him moved over. He gets moved over. The ball gets snapped. Kraft comes across. It just looked like there was some chaos and confusion. We have not seen that at all during the course of anything this offseason for Green Bay. That was the very first time, and Kraft took advantage of it and got a nice play on that one. Xavier McKinney. Talk about the leadership and the intensity and trying to help his teammates out. Before a play, he calls out, "Watch for the hard count. Watch for the hard count." Love gets up to the line, and sure enough, it's a hard count play. And you could almost tell that like Jordan recognized that Xavier McKinney just warned everyone that the hard count was coming. I don't know what tell he had or whatever, but he almost didn't even like, he went through it, but you could tell he wasn't totally into it because he knew nobody was going to buy it anymore. It was a subdued hard count from Jordan Love, but I mean, Xavier McKinney is just on top of literally everything, seemingly at every point in time. Elgersma had his best throw of training camp, rolling to the left, finding Cornelius Johnson for a good gain, threw across his body in stride. Really nice play from Elgersma on that one. Like I mentioned earlier, Aaron Banks had a penalty, had a false start, which got him taken out of team activities. Just as he was kind of working his way back in, he gets taken out because of that false start penalty. And then Carrington Valentine had another near pick. He's gotten his hands on football almost every single day. He's got two picks. He's almost had two more through 5 days of practice so far. So couldn't hang on to it. That has been a little bit of an issue for Carrington, but made a great jump on the ball, putting himself in that position to almost come up with another interception. All right, your two-minute drills for the day. Your situation for two-minute drills was you were down by two. You had no timeouts left whatsoever. All right, so no timeouts left. You were down by two. You had to go down and drive for the field goal. So a minute 45 left, down 30 to 28, no timeouts, first and 10, ball on your own 30-yard line. All right, so ball on your own 30. Twos were up first. You had a swing pass to Emmanuel Wilson. It didn't look like he got much, but I don't know if there's a penalty on the play, but either way, they did award a first down on the play. Carrington Valentine, this is where he jumped a ball intended for Malik Heath, but couldn't make the interception. Malik Heath with an incredible twisting catch. That's the catch that we talked about earlier from Malik Heath, went for 26 yards on that play. Savion Williams caught a catch over the middle, followed by two runs by Emmanuel Wilson and a quarterback spike. Willis got them all the way down to the opposing 20-yard line, which set up a 37-yard field goal for the win. McManus, of course, crushed it because he's perfect. And the offense gets the win with the number twos. The big play there being the big catch by Malik Heath down the sideline. Ones get the chance next. On the very first play, Love goes to Jaden Reed on a slant. It's a little bit low and behind Jaden, and he wasn't able to get there. Javon Bullard in coverage. Then Love goes to Golden for about five. Love to Reed for a first down. Then Love to Reed on a slant for a nine-yard gain. Love to Reed up the seam for about 20 to 22 yards. Jacobs up the middle for 3 yards. And then a spike after that. Love got them all the way down to the 25-yard line, which set up a 43-yarder for the win. And again, Brandon McManus hit that one as well. So nice job by both Malik Willis and Jordan Love getting their teams in field goal range. Big drive for Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed in this one up until this point again was incredibly quiet. And you're just like, what is going on here? But then all of a sudden, first down for Jaden Reed, slant for 9 yards, pickup of 20, was targeted 4 times, came up with 3 catches, and came up clutch in that 2-minute drill to help get his team down in field goal range. Some other miscellaneous notes. Donovan Jennings was at center, not Trey Hill. Trey Hill has had those problems with the snaps, so he moves to guard. Donovan Jennings gets a chance at center, and I'm sure those missed snaps by Trey Hill definitely played a part in that. I thought Mike Spofford did a great job of sort of defining the trenches for the day, saying that the offensive line won more of the pass pro reps and the defensive line won more of the run stopping reps, which fits both of their MOs. It was great to see the defense be still stout against the run, but we didn't see a ton of pressure from that defensive line. It was great to see the offensive line be great still against the pass rush, but it was a little bit of a bummer maybe to not see some of that movement in the run game with the pads coming on. Israel Abanaconda got some reps as a kick returner. Edrian Cooper, Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, and LVN all had snaps on the kick coverage team. Listen, special teams is not just for backup guys, back of the roster, whatever. This is, you're trying to win, all right? So the days of just putting, your bottom 15 guys out there, it's just not going to happen anymore. Edrian Cooper, X, Bullard, Williams, and LVN all out there on kick coverage. That Zach Tom contract continues to look better. Bernard Raymond got a new contract with the Indianapolis Colts. That was a impressive contract for him. I'll just put it that way. And it just continues to make Zach Tom's contract, in my opinion, look even better as you start looking at some of these contracts that are going out there for offensive linemen, which they're becoming more and more prevalent with some of these players that are going into contract years. But it was certainly deserving, on Raymond's end. But this is still something that I think we're going to look and continue to look at these contracts overall at offensive tackle and look back at Zach Tom's and be like, okay, yeah, this is going to continue to look really good for the Green Bay Packers with that Zach Tom contract. And then last but not least, Jair Alexander did miss a day of practice with the Ravens, recently got his knee drained. Again, those injuries for Jair, it sounds like he's going to be back at practice, on Tuesday for the Ravens, which is good, by the way. I'm not wishing this upon Jair. I hope he goes and kills it with the Ravens. So just the more pointing out here that these are, again, if you're wondering why Green Bay had concerns of giving Jair the contract or being able to, figure out something that would work for both sides, those injuries were the main reason. And we have seen some injuries already flare up for Jair in Baltimore's camp. But again, wishing him the best, and hopefully he goes out and tears it up this upcoming year and all the injury issues can be behind him. All right, that does it kind of for our main takeaways from today. I will say this. I love the pads being back on. I personally almost had to recalibrate a little bit because there was so much going on. There was so much intensity and hitting and, in a good way, and just drama with the Nate Hobbs situation. Like, I almost like midway through practice had to like recalibrate and be like, all right, focus, get your head on, like double check everything that's going on. Because you get into a habit sometimes of like something happens and you immediately go to either tweet it out or write the note down or whatever. And then as you're like doing that, like something else happens, you're like, oh, wait, what just happened? So I got to go back, check the tape, make sure that I'm 100% focused for Tuesday's practice. But I promise you, I will be. We'll be all over it tomorrow, and it'll be a new day of takeaways, player of the day, top plays, etc. And I'm looking forward to it being back out there at Ray Nitschke Field on Tuesday. That's going to do it for me today. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Mo State and Minnesota, and PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Dylan Pat Scott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelsnickel, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Matt Geiger, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Griffin Blee. Again, if you'd be so kind, get those 5-star reviews out there and make sure you're checking out our channel over on TikTok as well. See you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.